check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and hello, friends of Southwest Florida. Another glorious three-day weekend in the books. We are back today, locked and loaded with a lot to do. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Chris on the other side of the glass. We are good to go. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PShep326. Lot to do, lots of news. It's a Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday. We got Red Alert coming up at 3:30. We've got Master Pete Theater. We'll have his latest selection. We will be giving away prizes. Trucks Gone Wild. How about that? Later on in the program. And many other things. Of course, another round of Wikipedia as well. Pete Shepherd, how are you, sir?
Oh, my God. Fantastic. What a weekend.
Great weekend. I am glad, and that's an understatement, and a little bit surprised. I thought I was coming in here and going to do another Kobe obituary show today with Ryan Newman out at the Daytona 500. Thank God he is alive for a couple hours there.
Not only is he alive, last night
we didn't know.
Was not in critical condition. You talk about there's going to be a higher power. Holy Toledo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was. It looked like pieces of him were going to come out of the car. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And I just saw the highlights. I didn't see it live.
Yeah.
Wow.
I almost always watch the Daytona 500. Obviously, it was rained out after 20 laps on Sunday. I watched all the Sunday. And by the way, let's start with that. I'm sorry, but if you don't get a chill watching Air Force One come over the Daytona Speedway at 800 feet above the ground and then the presidential motorcade, you're not American. And I would say that whether it was Obama, Bushes, Clinton, Reagan, that was cool. That was cool. And a great way to start the Daytona 500. It got, you know, rain delay. They had to do it again, start over yesterday on a Monday at 4 o'clock. And I almost always watch the Daytona 500. I didn't. I missed Monday. I decided to go out, was at the beach, the whole deal. Came back, an alert comes across my phone. You know, Denny Hamlin wins the race. And I didn't even find out till about another 20 minutes after that that there was a horrible accident at the end. That's when I started diving in between all the channels and social media. By the way, social media is horrible. I can't tell you how many people I saw that said Ryan Newman is dead. It was brutal. But the tough thing about it was you watch Jeff Gordon in the booth doing his final rep. He's got tears in his eyes. He's just plugging through it, doing a professional job there. We saw the black curtains come up. That's never a good sign so that the fans can't see them taking a person out of a car.
Well, I expected that because, like I said, I thought, who knows how many pieces he was going to be. I mean, that was amazing. Because the protective helmet, so to speak, not his helmet, but the
Hans device.
The Hans device, that whole area was crushed. Crushed.
Oh, you mean the steel cage around him.
Around him was crushed.
Yes.
How do you survive that?
I don't know.
Not to mention the gasoline that was pouring out of the thing.
I know.
It was one of the most amazing miracles I've ever seen in sports. And I heard he wasn't in critical condition. I said, what? He's in serious condition. And then they said none of the injuries were life-threatening. Holy mackerel.
Well, that was the other weird thing. NASCAR wasn't saying anything.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 hours of trying to find information. And, I mean, there was no – when you looked at the crew down there, they were very methodical. They were taking their time. There was no urgency. There was no life vac helicopter coming in. Nothing. I assume the worst.
Well, maybe it's because he said, hey, I'm actually okay. I'm a little banged up, but I'm actually okay, so nobody panicked.
There was one report on Twitter, while all these other reports were Ryan Newman has died, which he wasn't, obviously. There was one report that said he was actually alert. And I was hanging.
I believe
it. I was hanging on to that for like 2 hours. Well, going, well, wow, maybe there's something going on here. But man, unbelievable. Chris, you watched the race live, yes?
Yeah. Yeah, I was dialed into it. It was a spectacular race. It was, I mean, I was dialed in from like Sunday at 1 all the way through last night at what, 7:30 when it ended?
You were invested by
that
point.
I was ready to go. Well, shekels make it where you start paying attention a little bit more.
You shekeled on a race?
All I'm going to say is Danny Hamlin plus 900. It was a good play.
No, it was no bleeping way.
It was a good play.
Really?
Yeah, I picked five. I picked five racers. Hamlin was one of them.
14 thousandths of a second. You won.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, when the race happened, I mean, watching it live, yes, the wreck looked really bad. But the camera's not staying on the wreck, so you just see the initial hit. You know where he gets spun around and he goes hood right into the wall.
Yeah.
You don't see the follow-up. You see him spinning all that. You don't see the follow-up, and I don't know who was driving the car, where he go basically the front end of this driver's car goes into the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
Driver's side window.
Right.
You didn't see that live. So, you know, you hear the...
At 200 miles an hour.
Jeff Gordon freaking out, and I'm concerned, who won?
Yeah.
Who won the race? I don't know who won the race. All this stuff. And then they show you the replay.
Yeah.
And then it goes, oh, oh, oh. Like, I mean, it was like a three-tier thing for me where
right.
you see him going up, getting airborne. That's the first one. The second one is landing on the top of the hood.
Yeah.
Or on top of the car. And then the last one is just, I mean, 200 miles right into your window.
I'll also just say the initial right-hand turn into the wall was far worse looking than what killed Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, senior. Absolutely. So you're like bracing for, as a human, you're bracing right there. Ooh, I hope he survived that. Then the flip over on the roof.
Then he gets whacked.
You're going, I hope he survives that. Then when the car drives through his driver's side window, you're like, oh my God. And then you're watching the slow-mo skid on the roof with all the flames going on. You're going, there's a human being in there.
Yep.
Where is he? How is he surviving this?
It looked like a video game. You know, it was so surreal. It looked like he was playing a video game. And of course, yeah, you know, it's just another life.
Well, and some of the drivers were talking about it post race, and media members as well. We've gotten to where accidents in NASCAR are pretty tamed with the advancements and the neck harness system that they wear, with the different flaps that go up when cars get turned around to keep the air going down on the car so it doesn't go under the car. Like, the advancements have come really a long way with NASCAR. I mean, even the soft barrier walls that they've put in.
Nobody's
all
died
of
in 19
the tracks.
Years.
It's in the top three divisions.
In the top three divisions, right.
For NASCAR.
Right.
I mean, so we've gotten to the point where I don't want to say it's okay, it's kind of okay to cheer for an accident at this point, because these guys walk away 99.9% of the time, and it's the highlight of the race, but it's something that you go to the race to watch. You like to see the pileup.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but when there was the 20 car pileup, with 20 laps to go or whatever, the quote unquote big one,
right?
I get in. That was entertaining. I was entertained watching that.
I always had a saying, because I went to the Indy 500 like 15 times as a kid. I said, you never want to see an accident, but if one happens, you want to be able to see it.
Exactly. Okay.
I think that goes into what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because these tracks are so big, you can't see the whole track. So.
And the other part of this, with social media, went out of control, and unfortunately, initially, what I saw against the. Denny Hamlin, they were criticizing the whole crew for celebrating right away, which is going to happen, because until it didn't. I mean, you're celebrating, there's confetti, all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, but Joe Gibbs said he would not celebrate until he found out exactly what happened. But initially, they were getting criticized because, you know, champagne was popping, but that's just standard.
All they knew is they won the Daytona 500.
But they were getting, I thought, unnecessarily criticized because they were celebrating, and then they weren't.
Well, and Ryan McGee covers NASCAR for ESPN.
Yeah, I saw him. He was great this morning.
He was on with Golic and Wingo. So you saw him on, Get Up?
Yeah, Get Up.
Okay, I'm sure it was the same thing, where he basically came out and said, look, guys, to everyone who's going in on Denny Hamlin for celebrating.
Right.
He was in, what's it called, where they do the celebration, whatever, Victory Circle. He was in Victory Circle, and he said they take their headphones off, they take their radios off as soon as they see that their guy won. They don't know what's going on. They've now lost the ability to communicate just like anybody else going around at that stadium. They know nothing.
Yeah.
You got, and as soon as they found out, he said that the volume level, if you will, of the celebration
went
from 10 to 0.
Yeah, it was.
You know, as soon as they find out, and I know listening to a little bit of post-interview stuff or post-race stuff, Hamlin was, everything he said was, hope Ryan's all right. Hope Ryan's all right.
If you go back and do the whole thing in real time, I find no reason to criticize Denny Hamlin, Joe Gibbs, any of the crew.
Yep.
I actually can't really fault with what happened on the track. The bumping and the pushing and the slingshot drafting. That's what they do.
And especially for that race.
That, the only reason that we got a little wonky is when you bump draft like that, you want to do it squarely. They were a little bit at an angle, and then some fishtailing happened, and then all hell broke loose.
It's tough, though, when you're going 180 miles an hour.
200.
And you're, what, a foot away from each other?
Oh, no.
Less than
you're
that.
Touching
no. inches.
You're,
oh,
no. no, you're touching.
Inches.
It's not a foot.
Inches. The only term I know in NASCAR, by the way, is drafting. I like saying it as often as possible.
And slingshot.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, that's right.
I think I just taught him that.
Because you haven't seen Talladega Nights. That's right.
Yeah.
You would know slingshot if you watched that movie.
Shake and bake.
I thought it was a great race. I haven't watched a race in NASCAR like that for probably a decade.
Wow.
Back when you had Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson, Gordon, Tony Stewart, like that whole group of guys. I got into NASCAR for a couple years there when they were kind of all racing at a really high level, and it's tapered off over the last few years. But
part of the reason it's tapered off is all those guys you mentioned are out of the sport now. They've kind of lost all their superheroes and the big fan draw. So, but man, I'm like you. I almost never miss the Daytona 500, but because of the Monday and I just got switched. But still, more prayers for Ryan Newman, and we still don't know anything more than what we knew last night. I don't think. Other than serious injuries, but not life-threatening. Yeah. I don't know if that means his legs are mangled. I don't know if there's a head injury. Nobody knows.
He wasn't in ICU, right, that I saw? Was he in intensive care? He wasn't in intensive care because his...
He was brought into intensive care right away.
He wasn't in critical condition. He was in serious condition with non-life-threatening injuries. That's still the last thing I saw. I am just amazed, happily amazed, that he just survived.
Yeah, incredible. All right, so if there's anything new that comes out of that today, maybe it won't be till tomorrow. We don't know, but we'll definitely let you know. There is some NFL news. Drew Brees has just announced within the past couple hours that he is going to come back and give it one more go and play for the New Orleans Saints. Does this start the quarterback roulette a little bit? It's one piece of the puzzle, except with the Saints itself. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is going to go somewhere and get $30 million, and then who's the other guy? Taysom Hill.
Well, he
wants to be a starter. I don't know if somebody's going to make him a tender.
If he's coming back, and I think he'll end up back with the Saints, I mean, Breeze, now they're going to have to figure out a way to sign Taysom Hill, because I agree with you. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, will be gone. Taysom Hill's going to stay, but he's going to find a contract for both. And if you're looking at Breeze right now, just had it. Good Lord.
Print stuff on paper.
No, I don't need to print it on paper.
Cut down a tree.
Drew Brees accepted a $25 million per year contract prior to 2018. Now, that accounted for 14% of the league cap. With this logic, he'd be looking at a deal around $28 mil this time around, according to SportsTrack. A three-year contract range, probably between $90 and $100 mil in total value, is more likely. So somewhere, three-year deal, $30 mil a year. Is it worth it for that?
As of today, yes. Next year, year after, I don't know. I don't know where his cliff is. And I say that all serious.
Yeah.
Seriously, he's going to be 40. Is he 41?
Yeah, he and Brady are kind of in the same boat as far as, like, I think that the money goes.
Well, and Brees is returning to his team. Brady's not.
Really?
The Raiders reportedly are going to offer $60 million 2 years. What? Well, you look like Chris is going
to
say something.
Well, I was about to ask how many years on that. I thought that Gruden would just throw $60 million at Brady for 16 games. Just come on. come on out to the desert.
There'd be nobody left. Brady, 1-on-12. 1-on-11, I mean.
1-on-11.
Throws it up in the air, catches it.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll just scrap the rundown this hour. Don't worry about it, Craig.
Every day I just change my mind about it, about if it's 50-50, 55, 60-40. I have no idea. I'll still go with 50-50. I don't know. Depending on, you got people speaking in absolutes about not only Breeze, but Brady. It's like, he's going here, he's going there, he's going this and doing that.
Well, I know. At the beginning.
Where's Tua going?
Beginning on the weekend.
Oh,
we'll get to
there's
that.
The question.
We'll get to that. But Brady, I heard, was initially going to do a whirlwind tour, but now there's so many teams, I guess he's going to have them come to him.
Yeah.
Like a scene of The Godfather. make your best offer. Next.
Well, that's it. And look, he should test free agency. But the Patriots are also in a spot. So it's, you know.
Here's the thing, though. We keep getting into this. If Brady tests free agency, he can't become a free agent until March 18th.
Mm-hmm.
March 16th, $13 million is hit on the Patriots' salary cap for next season.
And that's when the legal tampering part starts.
Even if Brady does return to the Patriots, mm-hmm. that $13 million, even if he re-signs with the Patriots, isn't taken off. So it's what Brady's cap number for next year, if he stays with New England, is whatever he signs for.
Plus
$13 million.
I've heard people close to the team say and played with him, he's absolutely gone. And I've heard the same on the antithesis that he's not going anywhere. Who the hell knows?
For a team that has $45.56 million in cap space. So
is that with the 13?
This is what I put together last week. This is Spotrac.com.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I get all of my numbers from.
All right,
and maybe they're a million off here or there, but it gives you a roundabout number.
The 13 mil bite that's going on the books, no matter what.
No, because if he opts into the last year of that deal, then he just gets paid $13 million. It would go on the. It would be a cap hit, but it wouldn't be a dead cap hit. It would actually be. He's getting paid that money.
Okay. All right.
Or if they don't work, if they rework the deal or whatever.
Now, just
it
for
is.
The record, also, just from Spotrac, because this is a great stat. I mean, Drew Brees will enter 2020 as the active NFL career earnings leader. He'll add a significant amount more when he signs his new contract. So right now, he's number one at $244 million. Do you know who number two is? Brady, $235 million. There's a real misconception out there that think he's taking hometown discounts and everything else, and I don't think they understand how some of the money was backloaded and front-loaded.
Bingo.
There's a lot of stuff there.
You got a lot
that
of
people think Brady like took all these discounts all these years. And I'm like, no, he just moved the money around different spots so they could be salary cap friendly for the team. He's second. I mean, it's $235 million.
It might look like some years Brady's only making $12 million, but that's because he signed a $40 million bonus at the beginning of his contract and was able to work that into the salary cap over the course of the contract.
Right now, career earnings, the top five is Breeze at $244 million, Brady at $235 million, Rodgers at $233 million, Roethlisberger at $232 million, and Ryan at $223 million. So trust me, I mean, not that people think Brady's like poor, but it did not take like all these major hometown discounts. He just moved the money around in different ways.
Money launderer.
And they still can't get him any help.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, you know what's scary is they were probably two plays away from being 14-2 with a pathetic offense on the whole, and really two plays away from being 14-2.
Were any of those two plays when they lost to the Dolphins?
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct.
Oh. All right.
And he still threw for 3-1 touchdown interception ratio, still threw over 4,000 yards, and still had one of the top three or four teams lead the league in drops.
Yeah, also,
you can make stats look like anything you want.
No, he sucked.
He's very average. he's like the 15th best quarterback in the league.
You're not average when you go for 3-1 touchdown
ratio. When you have a 3-1 touchdown ratio.
And throw for over 4,000 yards.
But Pete, it took him three games to throw the three touchdowns. It was a down year, man. It was horrible.
You cannot blame him for the amount of drops that are on that team. It was pathetic.
All right,
when
Giselle.
Your second leading receiver is a running back, you got a problem. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying if the pass had been on the money, they wouldn't have been dropped.
A lot of them were on the money, and they were dropped. A lot of them weren't, but a lot of them were.
All right. Some other news we want to get to. Mel Kiper has his new draft mock draft out.
Chris is in trouble.
He's got Tua going number three to Detroit.
Look, I came up with a little scenario, 18 Pro Bowlers end up in Miami with one trade. It's simple.
Okay, that's
it's
ridiculous.
It's simple.
18?
And the money works.
What'd you say, 18?
18.
Okay.
Hey, what?
He's dreaming. One.
8 teams, you
plus
said.
Tua.
As a number 8, like the number after 7?
Right.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
All right, let me see this. Let's
no,
see this.
I do. I got a fun little thing planned up.
All right. Now, before we dive into this deeply.
Time for an update.
Help me. What? Holy crap.
No, I already Chris. Deleted it. I said I'm going to blow out the
he
rundown this hour.
He didn't hear you.
And you
said
acknowledged
it.
me.
I didn't hear you say it.
That was 5 minutes ago.
I have more question marks about what's coming up next. Do we break now? Do we have an interview coming up next? Or is it more of us?
Yes.
Our pre-show meeting changed like right 30 seconds before we came on the air. I just want to double check.
No guest next.
Okay.
Not that I've heard.
Okay. Then we'll keep it here. I would like to tell the audience what's going on.
But we can't.
Yeah. But I probably won't.
No, just
a peek behind the curtains. Never mind.
It's okay. No big deal.
All right, let's continue.
No big deal. I mean, there's a lot of sports going on today.
There is. Okay, so let's get into it.
You've got the manager for the new Nashville MLS team resigning amid racial slurs.
Stop it.
Paul Pogba wants out of Manchester United. Stop. They're not letting him walk for less than 150.
American sports, please.
Stop it. Plus, Champions League knockout round gets started
you know what?
In 40 minutes.
I'm glad the SportsCenter rundown got blown off.
So
because
might.
If it was all soccer on this day, that would be unbelievable.
I'm with Craig 100%. There's two great football stories to talk
football.
About. One and Mel Kiper. And all I have to say is Rob Manfred.
Atletico Madrid hosts Liverpool.
Rob Manfred, and let the text line and callers begin.
I'll that even was put a, soccer on the back burner for baseball talk.
Could you rank commissioners in the four major professional sports, please?
Who's number four right now?
Right now, Gary Bettman looks like number one.
At least number two. No,
Adam Silver's one.
Adam Silver's
a strong
Gary
one.
Gary Bettman is now a strong two. I can't believe I'm saying
Roger
this.
Roger Goodell's Goodell, number three.
Goodell's up to three, and Manfred is just absolutely bottomed out at four. I mean, my God.
My favorite line of the week, the over-under on plunkings for the Astros is 83.5.
That was my kicker story this morning on when I do my little K-Rock thing.
Yeah.
That was my kicker story. Isn't that beautiful?
83. But, by the way, by comparison, the Astros got hit 66 times last year.
I love, my favorite part was Carlos Correa over the weekend telling Ken Rosenthal that other players around the league need to shut the bleep up when giving misinformation. Oh, like you lying for three seasons about being a real baseball player? They're tone deaf.
They are
absolutely tone deaf with the Houston Astros and Major League Baseball.
They are. It's so bad.
But Rob Manfred really did a disservice again. I just was unbelievable. Why? The worst thing that these commissioners do, the worst thing that owners of professional sports teams do, is treat the fan base. Not, I mean, they can treat the media how they want. That's fine. But don't treat the fans like they're absolute morons. And you say stuff like this, and then you wonder why. Now, I do think I think Dusty Baker brought up an interesting point. What I brought up last week, too, is they're going to have to put the kibosh on this sooner rather than later. Well, you can't have a bunch of guys being plunked opening day. And you know some guys are going to miss. They're going to try to hit him in the buttocks or the back or the numbers. But they're going to miss and maybe some more. So I think I am going to be really, really interested to see how Manfred handles this with the umpires. Who's going to get ejected? Who doesn't? What do you do for Astros games? Warn everybody the first week of the season? If you plunk them on purpose or even if there's a scintilla of an effort to bean somebody, you're out.
I think you have to allow the plunking. There is so much pent-up frustration. Mm-hmm. Look, I thought when this first broke, I'm like, part of me was skeptical. I'm like, you know what? Everybody's probably doing it. But the anger I'm seeing from different players, whether they're superstar players or lesser-known players, Nick Markakis says the players have to be hit. In fact, what was his exact quote? Let me get this right.
I got
he said they need a beating.
A beating.
They all need a beating. I mean, this is coming from everywhere.
It's angry, said. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. It's wrong. They're messing with people's careers. Okay. But you're also going to mess with somebody's career. If your pitcher doesn't have the absolute pinpoint accuracy, you know, you want to bean somebody from the waist down, fine, or in the numbers, fine. But you know there's going to be a lot of chin music up and in, and somebody's going to miss.
Yeah.
And if somebody misses and somebody gets seriously, seriously, seriously hurt or, God forbid, killed, then what's going to happen? So I don't know. But I don't know how Manfred's going to stop it.
You're not going to. He can't stop it.
He can't stop it.
He cannot stop it.
And does he want? Does really deep down, does he want to stop
teams
it? Assuming nobody can, because I'm telling you, everybody's going to be glued to Astro games.
Here's what you do. You go with your first game in a series against the Astros, and every team can do this. You say your ace needs an extra day rest, right? And then you do your bullpen start where but you blow through those guys in the first inning, like three straight plunkings. Then, we had no choice. We had to warm up our ace, and he's going to start a day early. That's how you do this. That's how you do it.
Yeah, but then, Craig, what happens is you can say your first two relievers come in and plunk two Astros, right? And then all of a sudden, Verlander or Greinke throws, an off-speed pitch. It happens to hit somebody in the toe after they've issued the warnings, and it's clearly nothing intentional. They're going to toss you anyway.
I don't think so. For an off-speed pitch on the toe,
if they have worn the benches.
It's got to be a fastball.
If the benches were worn, they've worn the benches. You are gone.
I've seen pitchers get tossed for throwing a curveball and having it slip out of their hand and hitting somebody in the shoulder.
Yep.
It happens every year. It happens every month.
Yep.
It really does.
It's got to have heat on it.
No, it doesn't have to have heat
on it. Like, imagine you're a part of the Rangers or the Athletics organization. You've played this team 57 times over the last three seasons. You know that they've been cheating in probably half of those games when you've played them.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead and find me. I'm still going up and in on Jose Altuve, on Bregman, on Correa especially, now that that guy doesn't know how to shut the hell up.
Right.
Springer, run down the list. I'll go after every one of them. Find me. Go for it.
Altuve was taunting it this weekend because now the story is, he had a bad tattoo of his daughter on his shoulder.
Yeah, I've heard that change twice now.
But he rolled in this week. Jeff Passan had the story. Yeah. He said he rolled into the Astros clubhouse today kind of all walking fancy and pulling taking his shirt off and pulling another shirt over his shoulder and unveil the tattoo. He's having fun with it. This is not the time to have fun with it. People are very seriously pissed off.
And I'm also, we keep thinking that we have to wait until April or March 26th for this to happen. How about versus the Cardinals on Sunday when they play their first exhibition game? And then at the they got the Cardinals and the Marlins. Then Thursday, they're here at JetBlue against the Red Sox.
Which we'll have tickets to give away this week.
Excellent.
How about that?
So, we can talk about what may happen in April. I'm worried about what's going to happen in March. Are there going to be plunkings in March?
I think it depends on the guy. If you're a starting pitcher, though, in baseball, are you really going to waste a spring training start to plunk a guy?
No, because you're going to deal with a lot of pitchers
It's safer than doing it during the season where you could be suspended and lose money.
But also, we know what a road lineup looks like in spring training.
Personnel there, obviously. And you're dealing with a lot of pitchers that want to pitch that have 80s and 90s on their numbers.
Exactly.
And they're not gonna, I'm saying it has to be the right where you're starting. Say a Verland is going to go, one inning.
Actually gets to go up against Altuve. Let's just say Altuve comes and plays at JetBlue.
Doesn't look like Sale's going to be ready opening day.
It's a hypothetical.
I agree.
Let's say Porcello.
Let's wait.
Is he going to pitch? I don't know. I'm throwing names out.
All right.
And now that David Price is gone, I don't think I can name another Red Sox pitcher.
Porcello's not there either.
When did that? He wasn't there last year, was he?
No, he was gone.
He was at Cleveland, right?
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Well, we've just scratched the surface here on a lot of stuff. If you want to jump in, it's 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Still plenty more to get to. I'll be the first to admit I did not watch 1 minute of any NBA activity.
Not one. Me neither.
Not even the controversial slam dunk contest, although I did see the highlights of Taco Fall getting dunked over.
How do you have controversy in a slam dunk contest? Who cares?
Here's Rob. You got a 48 instead of a 50, Pete.
I watched that St. Louis-Houston XFL game on Sunday.
How'd you like it?
Oh, wow. The Battle Hawks.
Let's mention this.
Putting the battle in Battle Hawks.
I saw 5 or 10 minutes of Quentin Flowers throwing a one-yard interception on the two-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
That brought they lost to Seattle, right? Well,
Tampa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were ahead.
Let's mention that Chris went 3-1 in the pigskin picks. Pete and I again went 2-2. We're all locked 2 weeks in at 4-4.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the ratings this week. Because week one, you're going to see a spike. Week two,
yeah.
Let's see.
All right, we'll get into all that. Controversy with the quarterbacks that are going to be drafted early. They don't want to go with it. I'm talking Joe Burrow and Tua. This is going to be interesting. We're going to get to this a little bit as well. So stay with us. Oh, and President Trump has pardoned a former NFL owner. We'll have the details on all of that. That just surprisingly happened today as well. Pete and I are out playing poker tonight at the Dog Track, the Naples Fort Myers Greyhound Track. Come on by and see us at 7 o'clock. $100 bounties if you knock us out. That's the third Tuesday of every month. That is tonight. We'll see you out there. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP26 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Pete Shepard, I just read something over the break that just blew my mind. I know it will as well for you. The Oakland A's, they only have a 12-station radio network for their radio games, which is kind of small for Major League Baseball, but understandable. They will not have a radio station this year in the Bay Area carrying A's games. This is unbelievable. Like their biggest market will be Sacramento.
Are they going to pick up the Giants instead?
Well, I'm sure the Giants have their own. There's a couple of sports stations. In fact, we have our guy from 95.7 The Game out there. There's KNBR. There are sports stations in the Bay Area, but none of them want to carry the A's. Unbelievable.
Really
I
is.
I never thought I'd see that.
How hard, I mean, considering they've been a... It's just amazing the amount of games they have won for that what they spend in payroll. They're in the playoffs, it seems, and contending all the time. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I know for a fact that there are Major League Baseball teams that will pay to be in certain markets.
Right.
That will give you money to air their baseball games, and then you can go out and keep all the inventory, or all the local inventory that you want to sell sponsorships and commercials and all that stuff. They couldn't spend money to have their games on in market?
They're going to be on TuneIn, the app. That's how you can listen to them in the market. And they're all excited about it. That's their positive spin.
Oh, that now you sound like Ricketts for the Cubs.
Yeah.
But yet they have 11 other affiliates.
Is he doing the same thing?
Only with television.
Well, he's still going to be. He's not on WGN this year?
No, it's their first year. They went to a new network that is not. It's in like a third of the households. It's basically what goes on with the Dodgers games in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's happening to the Chicago Cubs in Chicago.
Wow. Wow.
It's just unbelievable, really.
But we get to watch 162 Marlins games every year.
Hey, now!
Hey!
Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN.
And the Rays.
That's right, yes.
Peter in Lehigh. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. How are you, Peter?
Hey, Peter.
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call, guys. It's been a while since I've spoken to you. I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for checking in.
I've had some time to think about what I wanted to say while I was on hold, and I hope you guys hear me out.
Right.
Maybe Chris can relate a little bit. About 10, 15 years ago, in Serie A, Juventus was caught cheating, and there was no question about it. And their punishment that was issued to them was they were, I know it's different than Major League Baseball and the other four professional sports here in North America, but they were relegated to Serie B. But mind you, the following year, they did what they had to do to get back to Serie A. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think the punishment that should be awarded here, we all have to come to a consensus. When I say we, I mean Major League Baseball and the Players Union, because I know that plays a big factor in what punishment is going to be issued. To common sense, there has been at least 100 individuals involved on both teams, Boston and Houston Astros, that were involved in this cheating scam. I believe that they should be playoff ineligible for 3 years, and Major League the television money should be taken away from them for 3 years. Call it what happened in the NCAA college football, the curse of death.
You don't give them the death penalty. Well, first of all, I don't think your numbers add up if you say 100 players were involved between the two teams, because there's only 25 guys on the roster.
Well, you know 25 guys are players, and then the management, the staff, the ownership, the trainers, everybody involved, I'd say about 50 people per team. I'm just guessing right there. But if you do that, then the other 26, 27, 28 major league teams will know a significant punishment has been issued. The players' union has to accept the fact that something has to be done, and maybe we will not see what you guys are anticipating. We will see coming forward in the next few weeks to months in, you know, batters' lives. Because let's be honest, 90-mile-an-hour fastball coming at your head or leg, you know, it's dangerous.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Well, and, Peter, thank you for the call. Look, they're not going to give anybody a death penalty. No, nobody's going to be playoff
Rob Manfred won't even suspend a player.
I know. That's where he went wrong, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Altuve and Carrera, these guys should be like suspended,
absolved?
Right?
I mean, right? How are they absolved? I mean,
guys. Carlos Correa said very explicitly over the weekend that Jose Altuve never, ever, ever listened to a trash can bang.
Mm-hmm. And that's patently false. We got it. He's in the report.
This is what Carlos Correa said, though, Craig.
Yeah, I know.
And if you don't, according to Carlos Correa, if you don't know what you're talking about, shut the bleep up.
He should shut the bleep up.
Yes, he should.
Because he's guilty, dead to left on this one.
I still cannot figure out why whatever they're going to do or not do to the Red Sox is taking this long. I don't understand.
I've heard end of the week.
Have you?
I've heard that for the last 3 weeks.
I've heard it for a couple weeks in a row, but I heard it again yesterday.
Is it because
week.
There's nothing there, or there's a lot there they're trying to dot their I's across the T's? Which way are we going here?
I read both.
Reading more of
Pete Shepard. What happened to your pulse on both? You read both. You read both with Tom Brady. What's wrong with you?
I go by what people who are close to the team that I truly respect, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people I respect that say it's one way, and other people I respect say it's another way.
I've seen an awful lot of
lately. I've seen an awful lot. There's not a lot there.
Over the weekend,
now, I don't know what that means.
Right?
Is he going to get off? No suspension at all. I find that hard to believe. You take into consideration they signed Renicky to an interim contract.
I was going to say, is Alex Cora coming back by next week to manage the team?
No, but he might be next month.
That's a real possibility.
It is.
That blows my mind.
Which then brings up the whole what do you do with Carlos Beltran thing.
Gotta give him his job back. Because the Mets are a fine-tuned, well-oiled machine.
Hey, now that the Jessica Mendoza is no longer part of it, they're headed back in the right. Oh, no, they're not.
All right. Pardon me for the brief left turn, but I think this is worthy of mentioning. Dumpster Fire, congratulations. We knew on Friday that he was getting engaged. And looks like she said yes. She's got the ring. Here's a picture. Congratulations, Dumpster Fire.
I'd like to see what happened with Sean.
We got to find out what happened to Sean. Sean's usually a 5 o'clock caller. Sean is the young...
is that Skyline that just texted
Giants
in?
Fan.
That was Dumpster Fire.
Dumpster Fire.
Skyline was also proposing over the weekend.
Skyline was being almost seemed blackmailed to be because he was afraid that if he didn't propose,
That's right.
He was being forced to propose.
All right, well, he's radio silent. We haven't heard. I don't know if it did.
Andrea, Skyline and Andrea.
Yes.
Right, but I'm really concerned about our buddy Sean, Giants fan.
Yeah, and his girlfriend,
Sarah. I'm going to cross that number out.
Oh, yeah. For those that don't know, Sean's a nice young caller from Florida Gulf Coast, calls usually in the
Giants,
5 o'clock
Giants
hour,
fan on the
hardcore
line.
Giants fan in sport. Always, anytime we're off the rails, he calls in with a serious sports question. It's kind of funny. It's kind of cute, adorable. But then he was
very adamant that the Guardians were going to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
They lost 27-0.
Yeah, they didn't score. And neither Sarah. We don't know if that was his girlfriend or not.
Anti-Dr. Phil got involved and kind of soured the conversation. Meaning Craig.
You mean Craig? Well, we called her. Here's the deal. It was 5:30, and he had heard from her 4 hours about their Valentine's Day plan. So we said, well, "Do you want us to get involved?" So we called Sarah, and it didn't go well.
It did not go. It did not.
It did go well on our part. And it didn't go well on Sarah's part. And therefore, it didn't look like it was going well for Sean. So we got to hear from Sean at some point.
Yeah, I want to know. Sean and Skyline, those are the two hanging out there that I'm curious about.
We're waiting for our election returns. Dumpster Fire's in, but Skyline and Sean, we still got to wait.
We have a chart here.
Only 33% reporting.
We're
right
doing
now.
Better than Iowa.
Skyline and Andrea.
No, they got all that in.
It took them 6 days.
Well, Skyline, is it because my sister's Andrea? So did Skyline say it's Andrea or Andrea? I thought he said Andrea because I said that's my sister's name. Yeah. It's, you can pronounce it either way, but
You know what? I wrote down.
It's Andrea.
Maybe you're right.
It's
I said it the wrong way.
I said it's my sister's name. So
New Hoosier in Naples has got a great Seinfeld line. We had a pact. You were supposed to get engaged like me.
We had a pact.
All right, a trip down Sound Street. We'll have all the latest from Ryan Newman and upset baseball players with the Astros. All that coming up on Sheeman and Shepherd, and then next hour, Red Alert around the corner and Masterpiece Theater. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I think this is serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
I just like, as much as anybody, like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I want to listen to Carlos Correa talking about Jose Altuve and why they didn't want to rip off the shirt and the jersey in the 2019 ALCS. Bad tattoo and all that. This is on Major League Baseball Network. I want to see if I can decipher how many lies I think there might be in this statement. Carlos, let it rip.
2019, nobody wore buzzers.
One.
Nobody wore buzzers. That's a lie.
Lie.
The reason Jose Altuve didn't want to get his shirt ripped off, I'm going to tell you. Earlier in the year, he hit a walk-off at Minute Maid Park. I ripped off his shirt with Tony Kemp. There is pictures of that. There is videos of that. You can go look at it. I ripped off his shirt. His wife told my wife, why is Carlos ripping Altuve's shirt? Like, I don't like that. I don't like that. So when he's walking, so he's running from third base to home plate, he's I'm the guy up front. I'm the guy up front, the first one waiting for him. He's like, don't take my shirt off. The second reason that he don't want me to talk about this, but I'm going to say it, is because he got an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone right here that honestly looked terrible. It was a bad tattoo. And he didn't want nobody to see it. He didn't want to show it at all.
Hmm. Is that the one Melanie with a heart, his daughter?
Yes.
Allegedly?
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah. What's the purpose of him doing this interview? Do you think he's going to change anybody's mind?
No.
No. All right, the reaction.
That's a great question, Craig. We should ask Houston PR staff that exact question.
How did they, whatever set of public relation employees are there now, because you got to figure a couple of them must have got
it's
fired
It's got to be
before.
Jim Crane, right?
It's got to be Jim Crane. He's streamlining the office. Everybody else has been fired.
It's ridiculous.
All right, crazy.
Again, the rest of baseball not having it. Here's Mike Trout, who, in his entire career, this may be his first soundbite ever, non-related to baseball, on the Astros scandal, says it's sad for the sport and they aren't punished enough.
It's sad for baseball. You know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And, you know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not, you know, getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven, you know, thing. You know, it sucks, too, because like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. You know, it would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It would be pretty fun up there. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out.
Okay. Hmm. Here's Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox. Says, get ready. It's going to be Plunk City.
I think the game polices itself sometimes, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because, yeah, I think you're going to see some stuff happen this year, and I don't know if, you know, it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, guys are certainly welcome to handle things however they want. Different people handle different things differently, and in this scenario, I don't think there's any right or wrong way. Just, you know, guys are going to do what they feel necessary. I think some people feel more cheated than others, and rightfully so.
Would you feel better? I mean, I'm just throwing this out there as an alternative. Plunk a guy if you're Chris Sale or whatever top pitcher going up against the Astros, or would you get more satisfaction striking out the guy at three pitches?
Plunking him.
Okay, I'm just throwing it out there.
We have to police ourselves, Pete.
Police ourselves with the possibility of an ejection, or strike the guy out with your best stuff and see. Boom. You don't know what's coming.
Plunking.
Here you go.
Plunking.
I'll plunk him.
Or baseball
both.
Has always used plunking.
Well, I get that. But
here's Justin Turner of the Dodgers.
Actually, what would be perfect to that, Pete, is you get one of those big breaking balls that comes in, he swings, and it hits him on the foot. That way his foot hurts and he struck out.
That's good. That's gold. Here's Justin Turner of the Dodgers, who feel they were cheated more than anybody, ripping the commissioner. And by the way, Justin Turner, have you seen him? The red beard is in mid-season form already. He got an early start on this one. Here he is.
I mean, I don't know if the commissioner's ever won anything in his life. Maybe he hasn't. But the reason every guy is in this room, the reason every guy is, you know, working out all offseason and showing up to camp early and putting in all the time and effort is specifically for that trophy, which, by the way, is called the commissioner's trophy. So for him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I know we're running late. I want to get to these two. Anthony Rendon, baseball needs to forgive the Astros.
Forgive.
So what do you think of this Astros stuff?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think a lot of us jumped to conclusions, have a lot of assumptions on what we think might have been going on. But, I mean, to the end of the day, there's only certain facts that have come out. So they took a chance and they admitted their wrongdoing, and they kind of got to just forgive them for that.
All right, let's hear Alex Bregman of the Astros. What?
I said nope.
No.
We don't have to forgive them.
No.
That's where you're wrong.
I said this on Friday. Listen, I'm a forgiving person, I think, by nature. But to ask me in a competitive field where I'm competing with these other guys and they cheated and they cost me a championship and they maybe cost somebody their job, that's hard to forgive. It's certainly, maybe you could forgive but not forget. Here's Alex Bregman. He says the Astros will have to regain the trust of baseball. Good luck.
Everybody has the right to say whatever they want to say, and we put ourselves in that position. I think what we can do moving forward is learn and work extremely hard to regain the trust of baseball fans, and we know that won't be easy, but we feel the responsibility to do that.
The plunking aside, baseball will police itself. There'll be suspensions, whatever the case may be. The fans aren't going to forget. Oh. We got some smart Alex out there. You're going to see some signs. You're going to see some comments. You're going to hear some things yelled.
I can't wait to see what is and what is not going to be allowed in stadium, in ballparks this year.
Right now, nothing is allowed, so it's got to be snuck in.
It's just too bad they don't go to the Bronx until August.
I want them to play the Dodgers.
Or September, I'm
sorry. I want them to play the Dodgers.
They don't go to New York until the middle of September, at which point this story, maybe they're still a lingering side note on broadcasts and stuff, but we're on to football by then.
To football. When we come back, we're on to NASCAR. We'll have some of the audio from the devastating crash that we saw with Ryan Newman at the Daytona 500 yesterday. He lived. That's the best thing you can say about it, is he lived. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.